Yeah, that's right.
Look, let's use this as an opportunity while we've got you involved. You've brought Vicky along with you as well. So good morning to you, Vicky.
Thanks,
morning.
Neil.
And let's talk a little bit about girls' footy, because when you and I last spoke, we were sort of saying, gee, it's really almost an explosion in the footy.
Yeah, no, well, I think everyone knows with the AFL women's competition, it's been more publicised even further, and the growth this year has been an absolutely an explosion across the whole peninsula, but also just our group of players. It's been quite amazing. We've had started with one team last year. Well, we've got two this year, and I've had in excess of 65 girls come along and train, and wow. I've got 55 on the list now that want a game. So
that's incredible. So what age groups are you running?
Well, the age group is 18 and above. It's senior football.
Yep.
And we've got some girls, most of them are early to mid-20s, late 20s, and we've got a few in their 30s that are enjoying mixing with the group and having a run and a battle with the opposition each week.
Now, one of the things Jace, because you know the family Georgie Walker, who got herself onto the Collingwood list, just wondering whether things like that, when there's a local girl who actually ends up on a list, and there's more than one, there's the Hoskins girls as well.
Yeah.
What sort of difference does that seem to make?
Well, I think the best person here that could answer that is probably Vic.
All right, Vicky, your thoughts on something like that, when you see some people who have played the local girls' footy and they get put on the AFLW list, how does that make all the other girls feel?
I think it definitely encourages all the other girls to give it a crack. Like, there's so many girls that I know that have come from other sports in particular and are playing football because they've heard about how big it's growing and where they can go with it. There's more that you can do now when you're playing women's footy or girls' footy to get somewhere and be really successful, not only in the AFLW but also on the peninsula and further around.
Now, in the local team, you're a co-captain?
Yep, with Liz Muir.
Yeah, got into the grand final, and I think the umpires liked your game last year, from what I hear.
Yeah, must have been a fan of it.
And at one point you were training with the AFL Women's Academy. What was that experience
Yeah, so
like?
We started the AFL Academy at the end of November last year, which I was unfortunately overseas, not that that's so unfortunate, but for the training side of it. So we started in the end of January, and we had been training for about 3 to 4 months. Consisted of one training a week, lots of expected outside training hours to commit to fitness and weights trainings and extra stuff that was really, I think, is a success for the AFLW, for the clubs to see a lot of local talent training together and learning specific things. And I know I got a lot out of it, and a lot of the girls did. And we had the opportunity 2 weeks ago to play on Etihad under St Kilda Football Club's banner, mainly for St Kilda to promote themselves to get a women's team into the competition, which unfortunately they weren't successful, obviously, because AFLW are planning on not expanding until 2019, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, the Academy is a sensational program that they're running to try and promote the footy and get the talent and really grow.
So happened at Seaford, does it, at Linen House there?
There was two different groups. There was one which was the South East group, which was what I was in, and that was at Seaford Linen House, and then the other one was at Tullamarine, Essendon Football.
And they were all the girls that hadn't been drafted, that have been earmarked through their sort of prior games to come together and train to play and develop into a possible draft opportunity in the future.
Okay, I guess that was going to be one of the questions. If it's not expanding, they need some form of system to look around, don't they?
Look, they're modelling it very much on the men's and boys' footy and stingrays and identifying the talent that's out there and giving them specialised training. So obviously Vic had a game before the Seaford match, which was against, who was that?
The Australian under-18s national team.
So yeah, which was played out at Icon Park.
Okay.
And look, you've got all the talent scouts out there watching those under-18 players playing, and some of the senior girls that were from the southern area. So it gives these girls opportunities to be noticed. And the pleasing part from me as a coach of the local Mornington group is it gives players that aren't necessarily playing in the VFL competition. Because one of the challenges for anyone that wants to be drafted is no matter where they go, they get told, well, the only way you're going to get drafted is you've got to play at the high level. You've got to go and play at Seaford or Cranbourne if you're down here. So that's one of the challenges. And it's not, it is diluting a little bit some of the local competition, but there's a lot of talent coming through. No question about it.
Gary, I've been a really passionate supporter of women's footy for a long time, and being a teacher, I've quite often coached the girls' footy team and really enjoyed it. And I absolutely love now you go outside at lunchtime and you see the girls kicking the footy with the boys or the girls kicking the footy out there. And as coaching the girls, I've really, really enjoyed doing that. I find that the girls are... they're a lot more responsive, I suppose, at times than the boys, and really take in what you say, I've found that there's a lot less ego as well with coaching the junior girls than the boys. And I'm interested, somebody like yourself who's been really heavily involved with it, your take on how it's been.
Look, I've seen that where there hasn't been that sort of vision or career path with footy. With Vic's group that have come through through secondary college, really strong group of core four or five girls. Lizzie Muir, who's co-captain, Georgia Speedy, Kayla Middleton, and that group, Hannah Lewis, really good footballers, but they're playing with limited opportunities. Go back a few years, and it was only what was available, which was nothing on the peninsula. So we formed a youth girls team that they were all part of and played over at Casey Fields. Then come back, and we've now got a youth girls competition, and that's growing dramatically at all ages in the junior football league here. And with the growth of the new girls at your school wanting to play, well, they can see that they can go through in a career path. The girls now are coming to us that haven't played footy at all before. We played our first round last week and had our reserves game against Tyab, and we had in our 22, 23 that played, there were 17 never played footy before. First game of senior footy, and it's just fantastic. They went out and they got beaten, because one of my dilemmas with the group I've got a really good team from last year that won the premiership, and all those newer girls that come to the club to play footy that have shown a lot of talent, they're up in the seniors. So my seniors team has got a lot stronger, playing in a higher division, and we've got new girls that are... The great part about it, new girls that are getting a game of footy, but they haven't got the skill... what I'm trying to say is some of those new players that come in are up higher and not supporting the reserves team to make a stronger team. So
I'm interested to get Vicky's... opinion just with why, you know, you took it up and what appeals... What about AFL appeals to you?
I always was around footy because of Dad and the family. We've got a lot of men or boys in the family that have played a lot of footy, and us girls, Dad was a little bit unfortunate. He got four girls, so we were always...
unfortunate. I thought I was pretty lucky.
We were not dragged, but we went along to the footy all the time, so I've always lived with it in my life. And when the opportunity came about when I was in... I think year 9 to play for Victoria in the under 16s Vic team, like school Vic team. That's kind of where it started, and I had a lot of backing from my family and the support from friends and teachers and stuff to get me involved. And it just continued from there when the youth girls grew, and then going into women's and the opportunities with AFLW, you just want to jump on board. And I think that's the same to do with a lot of the girls on the peninsula. So just seeing how much it is growing, and they're just wanting to get involved.
And Vic, I think, was very lucky through school sport, school footy, that she loved it, and she had this opportunity at 16. But she had a group of friends around her as well that was as passionate. And I talk about those girls that are coming through that are being directed to go to the VFL clubs. I know that I have at least half a dozen to 10 girls in my team that are loyal to our group, loyal to Anvix one. Lizzie Muir is another. There's quite a few that could go up to a VFL team right now and make those teams and play. That's making our group stronger, but it's the luck she's had in having such a good group of school kids come together that are still wanting to play together.
Yeah, and I've got the school footy team in a few weeks' time for the girls, and the standard is exceptionally high. Sometimes when you coach the boys, they put a lot of the Stingray sort of players on ice and not allowed to play, but the girls are all out there, and the standard is really, really high.
Well, I must admit, when Vic talked about being dragged along to footy, it was mainly the sponsorship stuff. I was going down at local footy and at quarter time, the girls would be out there kicking the footy and I'd be doing stuff in at lunchtime or whatever. But the standard of the games, I got blown away when Vic represented Victoria at under 16 level, a national carnival. And some of those girls are playing and have been drafted this year in the AFL competition. The way they hit up leads, the way they tackled, the way they ran past at 16. Vic was... two of the 25 selected from Victoria that weren't playing competitive local footy at that stage. She was only playing school footy. And I think it's just grown and grown and grown. And it will grow more. You talk about your school. Well, Vic and our girls, our senior girls, are going along each week, two of them, to Mornington Junior Footy Club's under 12 girls team for training.
Mm.
Just to help them. And they're under 12, they're tiny, they've got about 12 players, but they come to our games and watch our games and just love the girls. So it's being encouraged.
So obviously, Vicky and you've mentioned Lizzie as well, some exciting prospects from the Peninsula way. Is there? It's been great for us to follow Georgia Walker and her sort of journey into the women's AFL. Is there sort of some other prospects around the Peninsula way that may look to get drafted for next year?
Yeah, look, one of the girls that's playing with us, that's a national Australian basketball champion and has been identified in the AFL talent pool. She just came out of youth girls, and she was one player that was directed to go up to Seaford, but her priorities is basketball. She's playing with us tomorrow. It's Emily Rylance. She's an absolute outstanding athlete and a beautiful person. She played with our youth girls team when we had the Mornington Peninsula group over at Casey Fields about probably 3 or 4 years ago or more, as a 16-year-old in the under-18 competition, and won the league best and fairest that year. So she's playing at our level tomorrow. So she's one definitely that no doubt will get drafted. I have no doubt. And that'll be good, I think. I don't know what your thoughts are through the AFL, the men's competition, in local players having opportunities to actually get drafted, even if they don't go through the Stingrays programs. I don't know whether they want that to happen that much, but I could see a couple of our girls, and other clubs have got them saying, but I don't really necessarily know names, where they have the ability to actually play at a higher level. And Emily's 19, Vic's 20, Lizzie Muir's 20. So there's a huge amount of up on each of those three, not to mention a lot of others.
Now, you mentioned a girl being a basketballer.
Yep.
And when we talked to John Cover before, he was saying about want to be careful that they manage the introduction so it doesn't impact on netball. Are you noticing any impact on other sports from your perspective?
Well, talk about netball at Mornington Footy Club. I've noticed last year an absolute positive impact.
Good.
Positive, both ways.
Yep.
And that's because Michelle Barnes, the coach of the Mornington Senior Netball Group, and I work really well. Vicky's one of the A-grade or B-grade netball players from last year and this year, and her priority is football. But last year, I think on two occasions, she played A-grade netball and then came and played footy as well. Now, there's a couple of other players that came across from netball. Sarah Williams, an A-grade outstanding player, played footy for the first time last year and is a natural talent. The netballers have fitness, agility, hand skills, but need to learn to dispose of the ball, to be able to kick it properly, handball it properly. Leah Sutcliffe. Both played in a premiership team last year as being playing some of the games during the year. We've bought players that have come to us last year in Laura Noonan that played netball for the team, for the club, on the Saturdays when she could. My oldest daughter Amanda's played netball at Somerville, played in our premiership team. She's now playing netball at the club. So there's been new players come in that playing netball, so the netball numbers have increased, and I don't want any of the netballers to be playing footy if it clashes. But we're a little bit lucky having two teams because most of our games are, apart from tomorrow, it's a doubleheader at home, get down and watch it because it'll be a good game, yeah. good day. Yeah. But they're either Saturday or Sunday. So if the netballers are playing Saturday, they can play Sunday. Mm. So with John's case, if it is clashing on a Saturday, it can be difficult. But I think you'll find...
That'll get resolved too.
Yeah, and Vic's probably a good one to answer this. I think it's helped her netball,
yeah.
the extra physical football training. Mm. Not that netball's supposed to be physical, but...
But the training, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All the extra training and stuff, getting down a lot of fitness, I think, helps in both sides, netball and football. And you're constantly handling, like, the footies or the netballs, so you're constantly getting your hands better and quicker, so you're just used to it, and I think it's really helping both sides of my sports.
And apart from that, one of the things I've noticed, having been sort of not closely connected with a particular club for 25 years up until last year, is that clubs are so much more female orientated. With the netballers coming in, it's grown. It's made our club, they've now got another 60 members that have come into the club. And as long as the club embraces it, which Mornington have been absolutely amazing, you become part of the club. The club gets stronger, the functions are bigger, the atmosphere is so much better, and it's a positive. It should be an absolute positive, not a negative.
Yeah, it's been amazing, and to me, not a surprise, just how women's footy has exploded. But in particular, on the Mornington Peninsula, yep. I think women's footy is very, very strong.
Yep.
And obviously, you've seen a fair bit of that.
Well, look, it's a perfect example of one of the ladies that's playing in our reserves team this year. When she was 14, Megan Mayle had won league best and fairest in the junior footies. And there was an article, they allowed her to play when she turned 14. She got a permission, but she was so good that after two or three rounds, they said, no, you can't play. And I don't know whether you guys remember, but there was an article in the Leader about her being frustrated, nowhere to go. She couldn't play footy. So she went and played soccer, given away. She's now got two kids. She's back playing footy and she loves it. Right, she's got an opportunity. She's probably 27. Oh, sorry, Megan, if I'm wrong. But she's got two kids and has now got back and enjoying the opportunity that she wanted to have sort of 13, 14 years ago. So that's good.
Sensational. Look, we've been talking with Gary Sanford and Vicky about the state of the very good state, the strong state of local girls' footy and the rapid growth of women's AFL. We'll definitely catch up again later in the season, Gary. And Vicky, great to see you in here. And